Turn with me to the book of Malachi. If you don't know where Malachi is at, ask one of the children, they could probably tell you. Page number 1010. This is one of those verses that was an Archie Atwell launching pad. Okay? That was Archie Atwell Sr. Verse number 17 of Malachi chapter 3. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. We could look back in other passages of Scripture. We could go back into the book of Revelation and realize that precious stones, gems, are important to God. He's building a fabulous city for us, mansions or places to dwell. The foundations are incredible if we would be capable of grasping how fabulous, fantastic they are. The walls, the gates, the streets of gold, all of that. Here in this verse, we don't see all of that basic splendor or the vastness of the splendor. We just simply recognize that he is calling his people, some chosen ones, his chosen ones, jewels. I want to take the idea of that this evening and look at a subject that could be a question for us, whether or not we are going to be a simple stone, a plain stone, or be a diamond. Diamonds or stones? If you're like me, you probably want to be a diamond. When I was traveling in quartet back in the mid-80s, seems like an awfully long time ago, we were able to stay. We stayed at somebody's house who was, in my opinion, especially then, was very wealthy. Nobody was home. We had the house to ourselves. That was dangerous, but it worked out pretty well. There was a lot of talk that day while we were there at the house. I think Daniel Knapp was our PR director. He was traveling with us. And we spent some time discussing the value of things in this home. It was just a little simple ranch-style home on the outside, but when you got inside, it was, to me, it was extraordinary. Way beyond what I had ever experienced or seen. Fabulous. There was a bowl on the dining room table that held these stones. For all I knew, for all we knew, they were real diamonds. You pick them up and you know how light is supposed to do with diamonds? I don't imagine that they were diamonds. I don't quite think they were that wealthy of people. But we kind of pretended a little bit that we were living and staying in a house that night that was of such wealth that they had diamonds sitting in a bowl on the dining room table. It was fabulous. God wants some diamonds. There are some characteristics of diamonds that I want us to notice this evening. I want to notice them in relationship, of course, to our spiritual lives, to us individually. Not to somebody else, but to us personally. Because there are some characteristics about a diamond that you and I ought to desire to have as a characteristic of our own life. First of all, that a diamond is basically known for their strength. Believe that a diamond is the hardest natural substance known. A diamond does not and is not grooved by the elements. On the other hand, a diamond is able to form or to shape or to indent its environment. It is able to change. If you're anybody's familiar with Tool and Die World, you can take a diamond and you can dress a stone that would normally be used to cut steel, even hardened steel. The dressing part that goes on, that is set up to dress the stone is a diamond. It's a hard substance, not easily and not changed by the elements around, but rather it's hard enough to impress others. You know, we could go a long ways with that. Speaking about the impressions one way or the other, popular opinion. Are we changed by popular opinion, or do we change popular opinion? Do we allow the world to press us into its mold, or are we in some way having an influence on the people that are around us to break the mold that they may be in this world? Seems to me like a diamond doesn't allow popular opinion to press it into its own mold. We could go even beyond that. The dictates, although it's a part of popular opinion, the dictates of fashion, the dictates of the common situations of life, are they pressing us? Are they drawing us into their mold? Are they making us more like them? Or are we working in such a way, living in such a way that we are impressing others? It's some deep questions for us. Known for their strength, hard substance. Another aspect about a diamond is that they are known for their separation. You can take a diamond and dip it in alkalis or acids, and they come up untarnished, unchanged. Let's take a look at acids. You know what acids are. Acids eat away. Acids will destroy things. You spill battery acid on you, and you're going to know it. You're going to feel it. You'll see it. But a diamond does not change. It is actually able to repel. You pick the diamond back up out of the alkalis or the acids and it drips off. It will bead up and roll off. It does not have an effect on a diamond. What about our spiritual lives? There's so many things around us. The business world, the social circles, things that we have to have contact with, things and places and people that we have to rub shoulders with, rub elbows with, work with. What is the end result? At the end of the day, when all is settled up and everything's back to the norm, as it were, has the alkalis or the acids of the world changed us in any way? You know, all it takes is for us to be under one person's influence for a very long time. Even if the strongest of people, unless we are carefully guarding ourselves, we could be affected by the alkalis or the acids that are around us. It doesn't matter how young or how old we are. Normally we probably think of more the younger set being affected by it than the older set. Because when people get older, we say that they're set in their ways. You've possibly said that about somebody or thought that about somebody. Maybe you've even said it about yourself. But just being under the influence of someone long enough can begin to deteriorate the core values of an individual. Changes take place. How many people can come out unspotted from our centers of learning? Now, naturally, when we send children and young people off to Bible school, we hope that they come out affected by the center of learning and affected in the positive way. But again, it takes one person to influence. As strange as it may be, that one person that influences may be the person that you and I never dreamed would be the one to influence the person that they are influencing. But if we have something within us that wants their approval, just a little bit, somewhere along the line, we get drawn to the point where we want them to pat us on the back, then that influence is beginning to change and affect our personal life. But when we look at a diamond, it comes out unspotted, untouched, separated. I've known people that have been changed because of flattery. I've known people that have been changed by frowns. Somebody didn't flatter them, somebody was frowning on them. Sometimes people are changed by praise or blame, either one. It doesn't matter which way it goes. God knows, and sometimes, quite often, the enemy knows which way it'll be that it will affect you and I the most. Praise or blame. The third characteristic I want us to notice about a diamond is that they are known for their substance. A diamond can withstand intense heat. Intense heat. At least I think it's intense heat. 1600 degrees. A diamond can be placed in 1600 degrees and still be unaffected, unharmed. That doesn't take too much of our thinking to be able to bring in into us the idea of what the furnace of affliction will do to us. We praise the three Hebrew children standing before the king and telling the king in so many words that God's able to deliver them, and if God doesn't choose to deliver them, then they're still not going to bow down. But again, for you and I to place ourselves in their shoes under our circumstances and our situations, a lot of times people, humanity, you and I crumble before we reach that point. You know, none of us have had to stand before a king and face a seven times heated furnace. We haven't had that kind of stuff. And yet, how many times people crumble just because of some of the things that I've already mentioned, praise or blame? Something as simple as that. But a diamond can withstand intense heat, the furnace of affliction, whether it be at home or whether it be on the job, and sometimes it might even be at church. I've been in contact with a fellow pastor, a dear friend of mine, who has gone through a tremendous amount of adversity in the church setting that he's at. It's incredible. After 20 years of ministry, and he's saying that this is the worst situation that he's ever experienced, that he's ever felt, and he's ever seen. The furnace of affliction, it's around us. Sometimes you and I find ourselves in it in our particular circumstance, whether it's home or job, and God forbid, but perhaps someone might even feel a little bit of furnace in the church realm. The diamond can withstand intense heat and intense affliction or intense adversity. Now, on the other hand, if you are have studied diamonds, if you are aware of diamonds very much at all, you may come back with the statement that heat is the only way to really destroy a diamond. What does that tell you? If we are to be like diamonds, and yet it is of such of a substance that it is capable of handling intense heat, and yet heat is the very thing that can destroy it. Did you hear me say that 1600 degrees? A diamond can withstand 1,600 degrees. You know what that's telling me when we look at this in light of our spiritual lives? God does not put on us more than what we are able to bear. He knows where that point is. And he knows exactly where that 1,600 degree mark is. And he's not going to put on us and take us into something that is more than what we're capable of bearing. Now again, you may think and say the same thing that I've said. Lord, are you sure that you know where my peak limit is? Because I'm feeling right now that I'm at the point of collapse or of breaking. Maybe you've said that. Maybe you've experienced that. But it comes back to the knowledge that God knows where we are. The fourth characteristic of a diamond is that they are known for their sparkle. And in that sparkle, their service. That's a beautiful thought. A diamond disperses light. Diamond has an unusual quality about it that is able, or that does make them beautiful. It can take a simple light that our eye sees as white, and it enters into that diamond, but when the light comes back out, it's not just simply a plain white light. It is the color or colors of the rainbow. All of the colors of the rainbow is what it says. That's a beautiful thing. So, well, how does that bring us into a spiritual sense? The simple duties of life as a diamond, simple duties of life as a diamond, bring about a beauty in that person's life. When it comes to diamonds, we probably always think of the gems and the jewels and the fantastics. The grand ones, you know, the ones that are on displays sitting on velvet pillows in museums. But 80% of all the world's diamonds are industrial diamonds. 80%. That's taking the second row here. There's eight people in that row, and we'll take these two young fellows up here. That's 10 people. But out of those 10, that whole second row is just industrial diamonds. There's only two of them. Sorry, ladies, that I picked the two young men to be the exquisites. 80%. 8 out of 10 diamonds are industrial. Have I said that enough tonight? That we are thinking that it's the simple duties of life. It's the simple or the mundane or the things that the fun of life wears out. And we go back to what Brother Stanley was bringing to us Wednesday evening about faithfulness. The fun's wore off. It's no longer the grandeur sitting on the velvet pillow anymore. Now it's down to the brass tacks and the mundane and the service. But the diamond takes even in that capacity and makes it something beautiful just simply from a little white light. It disperses light, breaks it up, and disperses it into all the colors of the rainbow. Another characteristic that goes along with that is the facets that a diamond has. Depends on the quality, it depends on its purpose as to how many facets or sides a diamond will have. Some diamonds are known to have 58 facets. That's quite a few sides cut into that diamond, where it is being able to take the mundane, take the light, and bend it towards its center and then send it back out to be in a positive effect on people. That's a profound thought for us. The final characteristic, though, is the key to these previous characteristics, especially the one about refracting light or dispersing light. And that is, a diamond must be pure. there is a process that people can use or go through to make a diamond lose the visibility of an inclusion or a fracture, slight damage to the diamond. They can process it in such a way that it's not necessarily visible to our naked eye. But when it comes down to the test, the pure diamond is the one that is capable of being used to the fullest extent that we think about as a diamond, because it's pure. No inclusions. And when they look for the diamonds that are to settle on the pillows, they look for the diamonds that are to be used as the refracting of light and the beautifying of the world, the ones that they want to use to make people go ah and ooh at, those must be pure. Those must be pure. And now the industrial diamonds, you say, well, wait a minute, there's 80% of the world's diamonds are industrial. It's because they've broken them down, and they've broken them down, and they've changed them, and they've formed them in such a way that they are brought to the point where the inclusion has been separated. It's an incredible process. You see, God works in our lives. You see, God gives us gifts. Not everybody stands here to lead the singing, or not everybody stands here to sing the special, or to stand here to preach, or to stand in front of a Sunday school class to teach. And not everybody does all of these things that we think about are the upfront jobs. And sometimes people think that the upfront jobs are the most glamorous. But it still takes the same kind of a purity, the same kind of an effect in that diamond, the need to have the purity in order for that diamond, whether it's in the glamour spots or in the industrial spots that we would think about. You say, well, it doesn't matter where you're just at. The diamond, when he takes up his jewels, he's looking for people who can be a diamond, not just simply a stone. Oh yeah, little kids can show you some pretty nice stones, huh? But when you compare them to the diamond that God's looking for, and the basis for that diamond to be the value that it is, it comes back to being pure. Back to being clean. The imperfects removed. Beautiful Christian character has a glow about it. Did you ever notice that? The world can notice that. May it be that our life is summed up with the idea and with the thought and the desire to be a true diamond, so that we can take the simple things of life, white light of life, and allow them to come into our lives, and because of the purity within, reflects back out into the rainbow of color that is an attractant. God help me to be a diamond. Let's stand together this evening. You know that chorus? I don't know that I want to sing it tonight. I don't know that you know it. But when he cometh to take up his jewels. It's in our songbook. Wow. One of those songs that we probably sing very rarely anyway. But it's got a true message. Are you a jewel of his tonight? Are you his diamond? Maybe a little rough cut yet, some of us. We can be brought into that true diamond where he wants us to be used and effective in the world today. May God help us. Praise the Lord. Carla, would you dismiss us tonight with prayer?